Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we're here with
Patrick.
And Patrick, you are a senior at
Marshall High School in Falls Church, Virginia.
Okay, so Patrick, tell us, what did you think of this new record?
Well, it's got a good beat, and you can dance to it.
Okay, so we've hit the midway point in Woodard Week,
man,
right?
Yeah, it's hump day, I think, on Woodard Week. How you feeling, Adam?
I'm feeling good. I want to keep going.
All right. Well, we're going to do something I don't think we've ever done before on Rockin' the Suburbs.
By the way, he's a young guy and he has lots of energy, right?
Right.
Lots of stamina.
He hasn't slept the whole
time.
No. He's been playing your albums, nonstop, keeping us awake.
Okay,
with the jukebox.
So
I'm keeping everybody in the house up. I apologize,
that's
everybody.
Nice.
Having too much fun.
So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. You're listening to Woodard Week, in which we have our young friend, Adam Woodard, friend slash intern, maybe. he stops in and we talk with him for a week. If we get that sort of old guy, young guy perspective. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I am Patrick Foster.
And I am Adam Woodard.
Okay, and Patrick, I'm sorry I cut you off. What were you saying we were going to do?
So this is something we were kind of excited about. We've never done this before. So what we're going to try to do here is I guess in the old days, you might call this a blindfold test, right? Maybe in old music magazines and stuff, they'd bring in an artist, right? They'd bring in like Ray Davies and they'd play him like five songs and it'd be a chance for him to like, I don't know, insult the Beatles or like insult Pete Townsend, right? Or maybe, you know, he'd say, oh, I don't know what this record is, but it sounds blah, blah, blah. Now, we're not going to do that. Or
on American Bandstand, they had this thing called Rate a Record.
There it is.
Right? And they'd play like a new record and then like they'd have a couple of like young kids and then they'd give it a rating, right?
Right. No, it's kind of similar, but you don't know what it is. You're not prepared.
Right.
You know what's coming. But I think what we were thinking with this is Adam, so we've learned a little bit about him, right? We've seen some of the vinyl he's bought, right?
Yeah.
We know he's into some stuff. We know he's into some emo. We know his dad's kind of influenced him with country and stuff. So we're gonna play him some songs and just get his reaction to those tunes. We're not necessarily asking for a thumbs up or thumbs down or a rating. But hey, if you feel like doing that,
I might
ahead.
As well.
Okay.
I can throw shade at some old stuff if I have to.
Okay. So that sounds pretty fun, right? So I think what we'll do here is we'll just maybe kind of divide it up into two halves, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jim, I think, it looks like he's digging through the 45s
over there.
I just
want this to be known. This is never before done on the suburb spot. So innovator.
Oh, absolutely.
Bring the young guy in can help.
That's right. Giving you a lot of credit here. We might have to bring you back every time we do a blindfold test.
Well, hope so.
So this is really, really hard because, as a music fan, how many times in your life, Patrick, have you said like, you got to hear this song. You got to hear this song,
more
right?
Than
and
I
you,
can
and
count.
You try to get the person to listen to it, and they don't really listen to it or whatever, right? This isn't the greatest song. And so I'm so excited because I have somebody who actually wants to listen to this song I'm going
to
play.
And has to listen.
Right.
I can't
have him on microphone.
I can't run away.
There may be that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, what do I pick?
I
don't know.
Then it
There's
becomes
so
harder.
Many,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So here's what I thought for this first one.
Okay.
Adam was on our old show, and he talked about Nirvana. Uh-huh. And he talked about how you were born like the year Nevermind came out?
I was
out,
the
or?
Year after Nevermind. I was born in 92.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. But you love Nirvana. It's one of your favorite bands, right?
Yep. Big Dave Grohl guy.
And you are now 24.
Yes.
Right? So I was trying to think like, well, maybe this would be fun. I tried to put myself back to the year I was 24.
Oh, nice.
And what was I listening to then besides like Nirvana and stuff like that? Like what was some stuff I was listening to that I was really into?
Right.
And maybe I would play a song.
Right.
Maybe a lesser known song or something like that I really liked.
Okay.
And then see if that appeals to the 24-year-old today.
Very cool
Does that
idea.
Make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And I will say to everyone out there listening, I have no idea what Jim's about to play either.
I have zero clue. I am so excited. I
may be reacting
happy
as
a
well.
Clam right now.
So let's see how this goes.
So should I just play it? Should I set it up at all or just play it?
I
talk about it after.
Depends if you want to give it a little setup, you know. But I think you've already given it a setup.
I give it a setup.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think just fire it up.
All I will say is that to take you back in time here, early '90s, I was living in Illinois. I was in my first job out of college. I lived in Rockford, Illinois.
Okay.
But we could get in. This is a funny thing. You remember this? Like certain places, certain areas, you could get a signal from Chicago, of this station called WXRT, and WXRT. Would play some alternative rock. It wasn't a pure alternative station. They would also do some classic rock like Who and stuff like that. But But they would play some more alternative stuff, and it was a cool station you listen to. And this song came on the radio, and it was one of those moments where you like hear it and you're like, what is that? Okay, so there you go.
All right, I can't wait. Where is she going?
I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
The Posies.
No, you're close.
Okay.
I mean, it was that era with that sort of like power pop revival that the Posies were part of.
Not the Posies.
No.
Okay.
So you don't know this either, Patrick.
I do not know the song.
Okay.
Deer in the headlights, I got nothing.
Yeah. No, but what did you think of the song?
I loved it.
Okay.
I loved it. Initially, you hear that opening riff. I'm a big fan of when an opening riff comes in strong and it stays steady throughout. And then when the bass line comes in, the drums are great and I love playing them. But a good, strong bass line that really leads the song and guides the song and hits all the breaks, I'm a big fan of.
Interesting.
And I feel like that's not as common anymore. It's a lot of acoustic stuff and a lot of, you know, outside sounds brought in. It's not a lot of actually guitar rock, as you guys have talked about before.
Yeah.
But I love that. I'm a big fan.
Okay. That was Material Issue.
Okay.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Wow.
The song was Rene Remains the Same.
Okay.
And like I said, I heard that on the radio, and it was, you know, the kind of song that didn't have wide radio airplay, so it had to be that, like, specific station. And they're also a band from Chicago.
Right,
so
okay. From Chicago.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting sort of, in between, you know, for me, like, sort of genres and eras, but always loved everything I heard by them.
Yeah, so they, so I totally discovered the band from hearing that song. That was like it, and then it was like, that's really cool. And then you go out and get the CD. The CD was called International Pop Overthrow.
Right. I remember that one.
And it was all just stuff like that. Like this great, like sort of jangle guitar, power poppy kind of stuff, you know, really catchy song. So again, in a way, kind of in the vein of Nirvana in the sense of, you know, good melodies and good hooks, but not as heavy, you know, sort of a lighter guitar sound and stuff like that. Right.
Right.
And the guy, the leader of that band, Jim Ellison, he was just really into sort of the mod, you know, influence, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, of the 60s, right?
And the Who and those kind of stuff.
Later stuff.
Interesting. What a cool song.
Very much so. I'm a big, that's adding that to the playlist of things I need to get behind and things I need to delve in more to.
So that was a win.
All right. That was a winner. Okay.
One for one.
All right.
So just to continue a little bit on Material Issue, were they kind of confined to the Midwest? Could we say that maybe they were like the next evolution of the Michael Stanley band? Or maybe not.
So good reference because, it's funny because they, the word is that I think they got signed to, I want to say it was Sony, but Mercury.
Mercury, okay.
So they did have a major label deal, but the word was that they had done such a good job on their demo recording to sell to the labels that when Mercury got it, they said, like, we don't need to re-record this.
Oh.
They just released the demo as the debut album.
Yeah.
And then, they kind of wanted some of that kind of lo-fi kind of nature to the sound, right?
Right.
The hit song off of International Pop Overthrow was Valerie Loves Me. Do you remember that song?
With those kind
of,
I do.
It had that kind of screaming guitars in the chorus.
Yeah.
There was a video that got a little bit of MTV airplay back then. And then they went on to do a couple more records. And I think, you know, it went okay, but not so well. And it kind of like phased out. And then unfortunately, there's a sad twist to this story, which is that the lead singer, guitarist, songwriter, Jim Ellison ended up committing suicide.
Oh boy.
So still like Nirvana in that same vein you were talking about before earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Good connection. Yeah. Or also like other bands, right? That have kind of ended that way when they had sort of the chance and then it didn't go well.
But I think they definitely had more of a big, following in Chicago.
Okay.
And I would go to shows and see them play and it was packed and it was really fun.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have the chance. They didn't have a long enough career to kind of like expand too much beyond that, but they got a little bit of exposure. And they were also a power trio.
Yeah.
Which was really fun.
Love those.
Too, always
right?
cool.
Yep. Yeah.
So they kind of had that Rush sound out the gate, I feel like, a little bit with the bass coming through a little bit, with the power trio and stuff. You could only hear those certain aspects of it. It wasn't too much. It was just enough to go through. But it's like you said, a solid power pop song.
Well, I always love it. Then one thing that's great about a true power trio, when they really are just those three instruments, is just how much the bass has to fill in that sound, right?
I love it.
And then how the guitar has to work, too. You know, a lot of bands, they kind of start off that way, but they don't. Over time, they add in a second guitarist and things like that because it doesn't work anymore. But when they really are just doing that, it's a great sound. It's really, if you play really tight, it really works really well.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. So, Patrick, I know you have a song to play.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should take a break first.
Let's do that.
Maybe I have to use the restroom.
Okay.
And
if you do, go ahead.
And so we'll take this break and then we'll be right back.
All right.
I don't actually.
maybe you do.
Hey, Patrick, one of the things I really need in life is validation.
Sure. I can relate to that, Jim.
So please, if you like Rock in the Suburbs, you listen on iTunes, please, give us a rating and a review. It's really easy to do. You've done that before, right?
I've done it pretty easy. You log in, you rate, you subscribe, and you review.
Right. So those ratings that people give, they're like up to 5 stars.
5 stars.
There might be an option for our show to go than that.
5 stars.
And then
5 stars.
A review, you could actually write a little thing about how much you like the show.
5 stars.
And what that does is it sort of like elevates the profile of the show, and then other people
5 stars
discover it. And
5 stars.
That's good for the show and keeps us going.
5 stars.
Right?
So 5 stars.
What should people do?
5 stars.
And how do they do that?
iTunes. Rate. Review. 5 stars.
Yeah. Please do that. Rock in the Suburbs.
5 stars.
You ready?
Yep.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes. That was fun. I can't wait for
that. Oh, it's going to be
good. I can't wait to hear yours now. I'm excited.
This is really good. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, Patrick, you have a song you're going to play for us.
I do. I was digging through your 45s over there, and I found one. And I will say, so I'll say this. Adam, as we've gotten to know him, one of the things that's obviously been a pretty strong connection has been his interest in country music.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were telling us a little bit more about that today. Your dad obviously was into country.
Actually, not my dad. My dad was more of the rock guy. Came from my sister.
Oh,
actually.
Country came from your sister. Yeah. Okay. So she was into like country.
And then all my friends
a little bit older than you.
Yeah. And all my friends being from, she's 28, 4 and age 5 and grade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's 28.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and she got into country pretty early on, and I always wanted to be cool like her and listen to stuff she did.
Yeah.
And then obviously all my friends being in small town Ohio, big country fans as well. Yeah. So
you've got that background.
Yeah.
Okay, so my choice here, and Jim may know what this is. I may have tipped him off accidentally when we were doing research, a.k.a. texting each other.
and you had too much to drink.
That's very possible, yeah. Imagine that. And got excited about a song, which we often do. But so I want to play you this, but I want to play it to you in the context of, man, this was groundbreaking. So I'm gonna issue you another little challenge here.
Okay.
So I'm not going to ask you to name the artist or anything like that, but I want you to try to tell me what year you think this song was made.
Okay.
Just give me an estimate, any kind of ballpark, okay?
Okay.
Who's gonna dry your big blue eyes day after day? Who's gonna jump when you say frog? Who's gonna bow and scrape after I've gone away? Who's gonna kiss you and who's gonna miss you? Who's gonna hold to your hand? Who's gonna chop your kindle in wood after I've made new plans? Hey, who's gonna be your man? Who's gonna
keep you warm as toast on those cold winter nights. And who's gonna be your puppy dog when I'm a thing of the past? Hey, who's gonna mow your grass?
All right, so there it is. What about that fuzz tone guitar?
I love that fuzz guitar.
Right?
I love it. That's definitely not like country today.
Yeah,
but it's
different, right?
Yeah, very, very much so. But yeah. in a very good way. We had you playing the air bass here, which was always great.
Yeah, love that. Love the way that bass line kind of fits into that little change, and certainly a song about a guy who's saying to his love interest, what are you going to do now?
Yep.
Like, who's going to take
care
of you?
Keep you warm like toast in the cold winters.
How about that, right?
How about that for a song
who's
line?
Who's going to mow your grass? So give me a guess, Adam. Like, give me just a random guess.
Gosh, I don't know, 72?
Wow, very, very good guess. 1969. Very close,
I was leaning towards
man.
65, very but then close. I heard some of the bass coming through, and that was it made me think a little older.
That was a number one hit single on the country charts for Buck Owens and the Buckaroos.
Okay. The voice sounded familiar, but I couldn't put a full...
Who's going to mow your grass?
That's who it is.
That was a really good guess in terms of era.
Absolutely.
That was
excellent, man.
I'm so happy
you're
I got
right
that close.
I was thinking
I was going to be way off, to be honest.
That was a very groundbreaking song in the sense of, number one, that fuzz guitar, but number two, kind of that fractured rhythm. Mm-hmm. That was very unusual in country music. And Buck Owens, you know, is from Bakersfield. You know, he was a West Coast country guy. He was kind of an early outlaw guy. He broke the rules of, you know, quote unquote, of country. Him and Merle Haggard, they were doing different stuff.
Very much so.
Nashville was still pretty utilitarian and pretty locked down at that point. Like, if you weren't part of the establishment, you only made records in a certain way for the most part. And you know, it was predated Merle and Willie and all those guys.
And Nashville didn't really respect people who wrote their own songs.
No.
They
nope.
didn't believe in that.
Oh.
So yeah.
And then that's speaking about, you know, the West Coast country thing, it's coming around a lot more now. There's a couple guys coming out of California now who are really hitting it big. From the West Coast, who are, like you said, changing it up from Nashville. And it's like you've seen a bigger spawn away from Nashville now. You know, it seems like Nashville got like mainstream for country, like the hipster way to put it, but like a lot of people are doing their own thing and kind of breaking away from the norm, which is good and bad, because obviously good because it's always good to test the limits of a genre and see what you can get. Bad because it's getting a lot of this too much pop in the country song, and it's stealing or steering away from the roots a little too much, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I really wanted to play that because I felt like, what, obviously rock and roll and some of the stuff that had been happening in the late 60s was obviously a huge influence on Buck Owens, right? So Cream and some of these bands that were using heavy distorted guitar, Hendrix, right? They picked up on that. And I think nowadays, like, you look at some of the country stuff, and we were even talking, you know, we've talked about even...
I've played a game with you. Is this rock or is this country?
Days,
and sometimes,
right?
You're not even sure.
Exactly. And so you still see that crossover, and I think in popular country. So that's kind of the reason I wanted to bring that one to the table. Plus, it's an amazing song. It's an incredible song, Jim. It's really good.
Yeah, I love that song. I love a lot of Buck Owens.
Buck Owens. Yeah, absolutely. Man, and you can't go wrong.
And I'll just tell you really quickly, I grew up in the era of Hee Haw.
Yes.
Right?
So did I.
So you know what this is?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Well, it's funny because Hee Haw was this, like, you know, country comedy sketch show.
Yeah.
And I watched it as a kid, and Buck Owens and Roy Clark were the co-hosts.
Yep.
So I grew up kind of thinking Buck Owens was a joke. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think of him as a serious...
He played that red, white, and blue guitar. And,
yeah.
Now it's time for Buck and Roy and Picking and Grinning.
Buck, is it true that your wife is money mad?
Yep, I won't give her any money that drives her mad.
That was one of my first things of Buck Owens was seeing Hee Haw and hearing about it. Yeah,
I didn't think of him as a serious artist until much, much later in life, and then, you know, kind of like discovered his records and was really kind of blown away how great he was.
What a groundbreaking artist.
Yeah.
Who really, Don Rich was his lead guitarist who played a Fender guitar, and it was always kind of amped up, and they often played Chuck Berry covers in concert. And what a groundbreaking band.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, this was fun.
This was fun. Should we do it again, maybe?
Let's do it again.
Sometime
actually.
Soon?
Why don't we do it one more time? Because that was a lot of fun. I have another song.
Like maybe tomorrow?
Okay.
All right.
I can't
Sounds
wait.
Sounds good.
Okay, so what you should do then is tune into Rockin' the Suburbs again tomorrow.
Yeah, because you do it every day.
Yeah, you already do it every day, right. So tomorrow's another day.
Why not?
You can listen on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher. You can listen at suburbspod.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can email the show rock@suburbspod.com. You can find us on the social medias. That would be Twitter and Facebook, yeah. @suburbspod. And
you can even call us on the phone.
You can. And if I had that number committed to memory, I would tell you. But instead, I look it up and it's 612-440-1984. You have that part memorized.
I did. Yeah.
All right.
I got the easy part.
Okay. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I am Patrick Foster.
I am Adam Woodard.
Woodard Week continues tomorrow.
Let's go.
Woodard Week.